We have seen in our study of the book of Hebrews how the writer has tried to encourage faithfulness to Jesus by illustrating or showing his superiority over the prophets and the angels, Hebrews chapter 1. And both of which were very important to the Jewish people. Both were highly revered also by the Hebrews, as well as was Moses, the author of the first five books of the Old Testament, the deliverer who led them out of Egyptian bondage into the promised land, the lawgiver through whom God revealed so much of the Jewish religion. If the writer was going to be successful in encouraging his brethren to remain faithful to Jesus, he had to compare Jesus with Moses. And he would have to show that Jesus was far superior to Moses. And that's what he does, especially in chapter 3 in the first 6 verses, which serves as the text for our study. In the first verse, we notice he calls them to consider Jesus. He says in verse 1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Notice to whom this call is given. The readers are described as holy brethren. In other words, brethren who are sanctified, brethren who are set apart for a holy purpose. For what is written, I mean, that's what it's all about in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "And it is to the brethren of Christ that these things are being written," he says. They are, as he describes in verse 1, partakers of the heavenly calling. They had come to share in the call from heaven, the calling which was the gospel of the call of the gospel. And that is how God calls us, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, Paul says there it is a call to glory. He also makes the same analogy there in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. So clearly the original recipients of this letter were Christians. Now some commentators try to reason that they were not because of the warnings found throughout this epistle. But I believe it is evident that they were, which is why we need to give the earnest heed to these warnings. He goes on in verse 1 and he says to consider Jesus as apostle and high priest. Now, the question begs to be asked, how is Jesus an apostle? Well, the word apostle means one sent. Just as Moses was sent by God, so was Jesus, as foretold by Moses and the prophets that followed him. Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, as Peter preached that first sermon on the day of Pentecost. So then, how is Jesus also a high priest? This is one of the more important themes of this letter. It's introduced to us in chapter 2 and verse 17, and it's expounded upon in more detail later on in chapter 4 through chapter 7. And it tells us that he has made propitiation, an appeasing sacrifice for our sins, through the offering of himself on the cross, Hebrews 7, verses 26 and 27. And he continues to intercede on our behalf, according to chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. So Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. In other words, whom we confess to as Christians. As we note, the actual comparison of Jesus with Moses, we are told that Jesus is greater in his person. Verses 2 through 4, the Hebrew writer says, "Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." Excuse me. The issue is not one of faithfulness. Jesus was faithful. He was faithful to the one who had appointed him, John chapter 17 and verse 4. Moses likewise was faithful. We read in chapter 11 of Hebrews, faith's hall of fame there in verses 24 through 29. But Jesus is greater because he is the builder. He is the creator. Jesus is worthy of more glory, just as the one who builds a house has more honor than the house itself. Jesus is the builder. Moses is part of the house itself, implying that what Moses did was service to the work of the Son. Now, once again, the writer here declares the deity of the Son as the creator of all things. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, chapter 10, and again in chapter 3 and verse 4. But you see, this comparison continues as we go on in verses 5 and 6, as we notice that Jesus is greater in his ministry. He says, beginning in verse 5, Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses was a faithful servant. We've already seen that that's not an issue of one of faithfulness. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Moses' task was to testify of things to come, and he did that. He did that faithfully. Deuteronomy 18 and Luke 24 and verse 44. But Jesus, it goes on to say, is a faithful son. Moses was simply a servant in the house. Jesus is the son over the house. So not only did Jesus do the work he was sent to do, according to John 17 and verse 4, but he was given authority over all things of God. Matthew 28, as we have Matthew's account of Jesus' great commission there, he says in verse 18 that all authority has been given him in heaven and on earth. Now, I did a word study years ago that has stuck with me. And what this passage means is that Jesus has all authority. One who has all authority has a right to tell us, to demand of us, to command what we must do. And he also has a right to expect that we are going to do what he says. So Jesus, being the son over the house, he has been given this authority over all things by God. So when we do what Jesus says, we have to do so understanding that God gave him this authority. We can stop right here and point out that people who say they believe in Christ, they believe in God, but they don't worship the way that Christ said to, well, then they're just flat out being disobedient. They're rebelling. Because Jesus says all authority, every ounce of authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You cannot go to heaven without doing what Jesus says do. Jesus is a faithful son. Now let's ask this question. How is Jesus superior to Moses? Not in faithfulness, but in person and service. Moses was a servant in the house of God. Jesus is the builder of the house and serves as the son over the house. So really, Moses points us forward to Jesus. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. For one to forsake Jesus, to rebel against Jesus, to reject Jesus in an attempt to go back to Moses alone, is to frustrate the desire of Moses himself. To say, I want to go back to the old law, contradicts what Moses lived for, what he served God to do. His whole life projected us forward to the time of Christ. Speaking of the house of God, of which Jesus is the builder and over which he presides, the writer of the Hebrew letter affirms that we are the house of Christ, speaking of the church, which is the house of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. In Christ, we are now members of the household of God, and together with the faithful saints of old, including Moses, we are now fellow citizens in the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. But yet our status as this house is conditional. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 3 and verse 6, whose house we are if we hold fast. You see, we must hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So, the need for steadfastness and the reason this letter is filled with exhortations to that end is for us. Indeed, the very next exhortation begins in verse 7 that we'll hopefully begin by noticing next week. A warning from the wilderness. Now, as we close out this lesson, let me ask you, is your faith wavering? Then we need to listen to the words of this epistle and consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Now, as you contemplate his person and his ministry, it should help you to hold fast to your confession of faith. It needs to be that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you're willing to submit wholly to his commands. Remember, he has all authority, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And it's up to us, if we're going to be in the house of God, to do what Jesus says do. Now, it may be that you're not doing that. You prefer to do and to live and to obey the way that you see best, or that some pastor or priest or reverend has told you is a better way. Folks, the only way to get to heaven is to do what Jesus said. Doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter what some organization says. It doesn't matter what some synod says. It doesn't matter what some convention makes up in a rules. It matters only what Jesus says, and that we only do what Jesus says. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you're free to do so. You can go to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. It'll be under the sermons link there. If you would like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Again, I want to thank you for being with me. If you'd like to join us at the Eastside congregation, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study. We're finishing up the Gospel of Luke, and we'll have worship services beginning at 10, and then we'll have Sunday evening services at 5 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., where we're winding up our study of the book of Joshua. Again, thank you for being with me.